presence here with one another, hearing the harmony that is the music of the spheres, may some of the harshness and discord of our human lives be transmuted into music. A new song in our hearts may there be, and a new harmony in our beings, so that we shall return to our several duties with fresh courage and with eagerness and with rejoicing. So we come together this morning to stoke that new song in our hearts, to join in the harmony and know we are part of the music of the spheres. This congregation, as a Unitarian Universalist fellowship, welcomes everyone to join in the harmony. Whether you sing soprano or bass or so low no one can hear it, we come together because we are better together than we are alone. I believe this morning's service will demonstrate that. I am Jonna Lou Johnstone. I'm the minister here and convener for this morning. So we welcome our visitors and guests. We're not usually this crowded. This is our, like, really high attendance Sunday, but there is room for you here. And if you didn't get a chance to sign the guest register in the narthex, please do so before you leave. And that way you can receive our e-newsletter and stay aware of what we're up to. And if you've been here a little while and are considering whether to become one of us, a member of this congregation, please stay after the service in this space for a one-hour Path to Membership class beginning at 12:15. There'll be snacks so you won't starve. Otherwise, please join us for coffee and conversation in the Alsop room down the hallway to the left, and please note the other announcements that are in your order of service this morning. Take a moment to say good morning to someone near you, and if you don't know them, please introduce yourself, and if you don't know what else to say, just say welcome. And there are some chairs, there are some seats up front.
The chalice is the container, the space where the musicians and the listeners gather. The oil, the fuel, the hours of practice, and the life experiences of everyone in this room. The wick is the instruments and the vocal cords through which the music will flow. And the flame is the music which is created as if by magic when the instruments are lifted and the breath inhaled and the downbeat is nodded. May this flame ignite the music within us all.
Helen Mayfield will officially begin the ignition of the music.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Helen and Renee. The sum of all reverence I add up in you, whoever you are, writes Walt Whitman. Those who govern are there for you. It is not you who are there for them. All architecture is what you do to it when you look upon it. All music is what awakes from you when you are reminded by the instruments. Let me say that again. All music is what awakes from you when you are reminded by the instruments. The sun and stars that float in the open air, the apple-shaped earth and we upon it, the endless pride and outstretching of people, unspeakable joys and sorrows, the wonder everyone sees in everyone else they see, and the wonders that fill each minute of time forever. It is you, whoever you are. It is no farther from you than your hearing or sight are from you. It is hinted by the nearest, commonest, readiest. We consider Bibles and religions divine. I do not say that they are not divine. I say that they have grown out of you and may grow out of you still. It is not they who give the life. It is you who give the life. Will you seek afar off? You surely come back at last in things best known to you, finding the best or as good as the best. Happiness, knowledge, not in another place, but this place. Not another hour, but this hour. All music is what awakens from you when you are reminded. So let us lift our voices in song. Please rise in body or spirit to sing number 108, My Life Flows On, in English song. Everyone, for being part of the music by raising your voices. And there's a part for all of you during this reading, too. After each verse, the congregation responds, "We are the music." Let's practice. We are the music.
Our first breath is followed by our first song, lusty, loud, primal, a solo that announces to the world, I have arrived.
We are the music.
As toddlers hearing our first reggae beat, we let our spines and hips bend and sway in response, as natural as the beat of our hearts.
We are the music.
The drone of the bass notes of the church organ, a vibration in our chests. Tense muscles relax. The breath deepens.
We are the music.
As we push the air from our bellies out through the chest and throat, our changing expressions shape the sound.
We are the music.
As we sing together, voices blend to create a harmony, each voice enriched by its connection to the next. We are the music. Novelist and poet Arthur Graham writes, "Each of us is an artist whose task it is to shape life into some semblance of the pattern one dreams about. The molding is not of self alone, but of shared tomorrows and times we shall never see. So let us be about our task. The materials are very precious and perishable. Do you think of yourself as an artist? Do you think of your task as shaping life into some semblance of the pattern you dream about? Often we don't feel like we're shaping life. Sometimes we even feel that life is assailing us. Our actions, our visions, our dreams don't feel connected to the reality. Maybe viewing ourselves as artists could help. Artists, whether visual artists, musicians, writers, dramatists, start with a vision, a dream that they decide to execute. And then they begin to make it real. They gather the materials needed, the paints or clays or instruments, and apply their bodies and minds to bringing into being what they have imagined. Let me let you in on a secret. It never comes out the way they imagined the vision. I heard an interview with Paul Simon, the musician who formed half of Simon and Garfunkel and gave us the album Graceland, making South African music popular. I think of him as a master singer-songwriter. His latest album, In the Blue Light, does something I have never seen done. The whole album is old songs of his that he has completely reworked because they weren't right the first time. Here's what he said about it. This album consists of songs that I thought were almost right or were odd enough to be overlooked the first time around. Redoing arrangements, harmonic structures, and lyrics that didn't make their meaning clear gave me time to clarify in my own head what I wanted to say or realize what I was thinking and make it more easily understood. Paul Simon didn't get it right. He had visions he could not execute until maybe much later in his life as he redid it. So sometimes the vision doesn't come out as well as the artist imagined it. And sometimes the vision comes out better. I've seen this particularly in collaborations where other people's contributions took an idea I had to a higher level. And sometimes it's not better or worse, it's only different. We have such a tendency to judge everything, good or bad, better or worse. Maybe it's only different from what we imagined. And that's how our lives go, too. We have visions, goals for our careers, for our families, for our work in the world. We pull together those precious and perishable materials, ideas and people and the stuff of the world, and we tackle the visions with our bodies and minds, shaping ourselves and our tomorrows and our tasks, shaping futures we may not even live to witness. This morning, we have a demonstration of the process of artistry through music. We have musicians with deep experience, knowledge, and talent, and we have musicians with less artistry, but still with artistic vision and commitment. Music is an art that is very perishable. As the notes fade into the air, it's gone. Nevertheless, something remains out of it. The inspiration, connection, wonder. This morning, we are all part of producing something that, though the notes will fade, we hope will stay with us. And perhaps we will be inspired in the shaping of our lives, our visions, our tomorrows as artists of life. Carrie Cave is our next artist performer, followed by a group billing themselves as EM3, And finally, we have the great privilege to welcome back to our piano our former pianist and world-renowned musician, Dr. Slavomir Dobrynski.
Thank you. I just have two points to make. One is a general theological observation that we are here in the Unitarian Fellowship that historically grew out of the opposition to the dogma of Trinity. However, many musicians believe in another kind of Trinity. As musicians, we believe in the Trinity of the gut, the heart, and the mind, and that is our Trinity. But, of course, there's a unity to that Trinity, so that's very important to remember. Now, my piece is a programmatic composition, and it's about an Irish myth of creation, and it's about the god, his name is Manannan, and according to the story, he was the god of motion, and long before the creation, he sent forth tremendous tides which swept to and fro through the universe and rhythmically moved the particles and materials of which the gods were later to make the suns and worlds. And, you know, just to tell you a little bit more, I'll be playing a lot with my fist and my forearm, but you will hear it. Thank you.
is an abnormal state. The world is nowhere silent. The wind calls in the treetops and whispers in the beach grass. The world is nowhere silent. Streams laugh aloud. Waves roar as they fall upon the beach. Were our ears more finely tuned, we could hear the crack of granite as boulders are reduced to pebbles, pebbles to sand, sand to dust. Were our ears more finely tuned, we could hear the grinding of tectonic plates as they collide, the vibrations in the very heart of the atom. The world is nowhere silent. Birds sing and chirp. Squirrels chatter. Insects hum and whir. They fall quiet only briefly at our approach, a suggestion that silence is a sign of fear. Is it not strange that even as Gaia sings to us, calls to us, shouts at us, we seek wisdom in silence? Is it a measure of our alienation that we retreat into silence, withdraw from the chorus in order to hear the endless, eternal song? Each week, we collect an offering, a symbol of how we bring ourselves to our participation in the congregation. We support ourselves in all ways. No one tells us how much money to give or what to do with it. In the same way, no one requires us to offer our talents and gifts in particular ways. We work together to make of ourselves as a congregation something greater than we are alone. And this is what our offertory symbolizes, how we each choose how and what we will offer to one another, to our fellowship. At the same time as we collect the offering, I will collect any joys and sorrows that people wish to have shared this morning, written on the little pieces of paper that were on your chairs. The offering of money and of our celebrations and concerns will now be given and received in grateful appreciation of our shared hopes and values.
This piece entitled Grace was written by Michael Tilson Thomas on the occasion of Leonard Bernstein's 70th birthday. So if you would, imagine a large group of friends gathering for a celebratory dinner.
Thank you. blessed whoever may care for this tasty plate of herring. Yesterday, swimming swift in a salty sea, and today, won't you pass me whatever still left of this tasty treat we're sharing? 'Cause the truth is, it tastes good.
Make us great.
Yes, life is good, and we experience the ups and downs of it. We experience the joys and sorrows, and we share our joys and sorrows to recognize and strengthen the connections among us. Amy Betts is concerned today for Jeff Guther and family. His wife, Christine, passed away September 14th. They have three children, Lily, Penny, and John. So we express our condolences to Amy and her friends. Jessica Severs is grateful that her grandmother, Doris Mangelsdorf, has moved back to Manhattan, and she's here with us this morning. Kale and Gina Hepler are happy they live so close to Molly and Nick. And in a similar vein, Susan and Christy say that they are thankful for Porter's friendship with Grayson, which has made him excited to come each week. Jake Larson is going to be testing for his Taekwondo black belt in 3 days, so keep him in your thoughts. Roger and Linda Johnson, are going to celebrate their 54th anniversary on Wednesday, September the 19th. So we congratulate them. I want to recognize, too, that our connections extend beyond us out into the world. And this morning we hold in our hearts the people caught up in storms and floods. We have seen such rain and know how devastating it can be. We also recognize that our Jewish friends and neighbors are immersed in their high holy days and wish that they may have an easy fast and be sealed in the Book of Life. And we move to a lighter part of our program with Kathleen Oldfather, followed by Jean's Shirt Brigade, which is bound to be interesting. And then Larry Weaver is going to bring us up with the great folk music of Phil Oakes, which is not printed in your order of service, but he's going to do it. Thank you.
not a whole lot, unlike herding cats. Paul McCartney wrote this song when he was 15, and the lyrics were, as you can guess, somewhat juvenile. When it was ready to put it on record, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, he and George Martin and John chipped in a little bit, but he wouldn't admit to being part of this song. They rewrote the lyrics, and I heard it for the first time in that form when I was 15. And for me, that was back in high school when my all my teachers were various degrees of ancient. And my art teacher, for example, you know, that old guy, had just graduated from college. So when my brother would keep up with the local people and relate some teacher he had run into, and I'm years later, I'm just thinking, man, I thought they were 60 then. But anyway, so I'm guilty of being 64 right now. So for another 3 weeks, this was going to be an instrumental piece, and then I happened to run into, I hang out in Aggieville once in a while just to kind of imagine I'm down in New Orleans on Storyville Street. And so I heard this group of voices, choir, whatever, coming around the corner, and they were waving a banner that said Celebrate 64, and they were singing When I'm 64. And so at a break, I told them how great they sounded, almost as if a member was maybe grew up in a Southern Baptist church or something, a little bit of a gospel feel to it. Anyway, so I invited them to perform with us today, and my communication may have not been very clear as when it was and where it was exactly. I might have said a block from the viaduct, and it's more like a mile, because they don't have a tour bus yet, so I think they walk most places they perform. But anyway, if they show up, great. Kind of like Arlo Guthrie. If they don't, we'll play another round on the guitar until the chorus or something comes along. But anyway, hope you enjoy whatever we come up with, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
folk singer from the 60s and 70s. The first one is When I'm Gone. It's certainly a call to social activism, to trying to make the world a better place. But it's also a reminder to notice the golden of the sun and dance with delight. So, When I'm Gone by Phil Oakes. There'll be no place in this world that I'll belong when I'm gone, and I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone. You won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't feel the flowing of the time when I'm gone. All the pleasures of love will not be mine when I'm gone. My pen won't pour out a lyric line when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't breathe the brandy air when I'm gone. And I can't even suffer from my cares when I'm gone. Nothing I can lose or I can dare when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't be running from the rain when I'm gone. And I can't even suffer from my pain when I'm gone. Nothing I can lose or I can gain when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. I won't see the golden of the sun when I'm gone. And the evening and the morning will be one when I'm gone. Can't sing louder than the guns when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. All my days won't be dances of delight when I'm gone. The sands will be shifting from my sight when I'm gone. I can't add my name into the fight when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't be laughing at the lies when I'm gone. And I can't question how or when or why when I'm gone. Can't live proud enough to die when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. Yes, I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. Phil Oakes was probably on J. Edgar Hoover's want list. But this next song I'm going to sing was Phil Oakes's love song to America. It's in the spirit of This Land Is Your Land. So here's the way it goes. Come and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the mountains, the meadows, the sand. Walk through the valleys, the rivers, the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty words cannot recall. Oh, her power must rest on the strength of her freedom. Her glory must rest on us all. From Colorado's canyons and the Carolinas too, Virginia and Alaska, from the old to the new, Texas and Ohio and the California shore. Now tell me who could ask for more? For here is a land full of power and glory, beauty words cannot recall. Oh, her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom. Her glory shall rest on us all. But she's only as rich as the poorest of her poor, only as free as the padlocked prison door, only as strong as our love for the land, only as tall as we stand. So here is our land full of power and glory, beauty words cannot recall, but her power must rest on the strength of our freedom. Her glory must rest on us all. Come and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the mountains, the meadows, the sand. Walk through the valleys, the rivers, the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is our land full of power and glory, beauty words cannot recall. Oh, her power must rest on the strength of her freedom. Her glory must rest on us all, on us all.
So it's time to express some gratitude. This reading has a part, again, for the congregation. It's printed in your order of service, congregational response. It's in italics there under the reading. And I will lead it each time it is time for us to say it. And that's all that I'm reading. So if I'm talking, then join me. So let's practice it. With gratitude, we celebrate the gift shared. May the melodic offerings continue to touch our hearts and nurture our spirits.
Singing is an act of creation, of bringing into the world something that wasn't there before.
Singing is a natural expression of my spirit. At the same time, it can be soothing, energizing, crying, laughing, angelic, or down-in-the-dirt blues. It's all good.
Singing is energy going out into the world to create even more sympathetic energy. It can change the world.
I'll bet it was someone listening to music that first created the concept of heaven.
With gratitude, we celebrate the gifts shared. May the melodic offerings continue to touch our hearts and nurture our spirits.
Singing simply puts a song in my heart that I can share.
I sing to create an uplifting atmosphere for myself and others, to dispel the bleak midwinter.
I sing because it helps me understand the power inside me and how to use it fearlessly and gently. Oh yes, and it feels mighty fine too.
With gratitude, we celebrate the gifts shared. May the melodic offerings continue to touch our hearts and nurture our spirits.
There are feelings too complex to express in words that can somehow be conveyed through singing.
Singing is alive with emotion, and expressing myself that way makes me feel whole.
Singing is channeling a feeling. You open your mouth and out comes something amazing that makes other people feel like you do. You're happy. They're happy. You're empowered. They become empowered.
I sing because I can and found it the best way for me to express my joy or sorrow. And I can sense that people are sending back their own feelings. But it also allows me to step into the emotional shoes of the composer, to step beyond an intellectual empathy with another person and imagine that I really feel what he or she wanted to convey. So even if the lyrics are not something I would write, I have a deeper understanding of another human being.
With gratitude, we celebrate the gifts shared. May the melodic offerings continue to touch our hearts and nurture our spirits.
Why do I sing? Yes, it feeds the soul. It brings me back to childhood of singing in the car or while doing the dishes with my family. It engrosses me in something beautiful.
I sing because of the joy and camaraderie it brings into my life. Music expands my world.
I sing because I love making music with you, Yus, and other people I care about.
With gratitude, we celebrate the gifts shared. May the melodic offerings continue to touch our hearts and nurture our spirits.
A raggle-taggle choir such as ours, with a good director, can realize the essence of the music. Individually, we're not much, but together, the sound we make is bordering on magnificent. By singing, my life is filled with the very best.
Making connections with the choir brings an even fuller sense of community with friends, with other UUs, and with the divine, interconnected web of life.
I love the challenge of making the notes all come together and blend with our voices. Making music together is the ultimate expression of community harmony.
With gratitude, we celebrate the gifts shared. May the melodic offerings continue to touch our and nurture our spirits. And so we'll move into the closing section here with a traditional section with Molly McGoy, followed by father and son, Rob and Sam DeLong.
Okay, am I on? All right, this isn't technically a story for all ages, but that's kind of how I'm going to do it, okay? So, children, at least the children related to me who are here could come up here and be my audience, and any other children who have wiggles and just don't want to stay in their seats are welcome to come as well. But we're not singing you out after this, because you're going to hear two more songs, okay? Two more songs after this. All right. Okay. Have any of you ever heard a baby crying and, like, it was upsetting to you? Like, you just want that baby to stop crying? Has that ever happened to anyone? Okay. Some people in the audience as well, that might be a... Well, lullabies are a tool to help babies stop crying. And this has been going on since ancient times. And some descriptions of lullabies are used to modulate infants' arousal and as a sleep aid, which means quiet them down. And the most frequent tendencies of lullabies are intermittent repetitions and long pauses between sections, which means they're soothing. But also, there has been a scientific study that says lullabies are the most successful type of music or sound to relieve the stress of pregnant women. So it helps the adults, too. And adults can recognize lullabies without knowing the cultural context or language of the song. So it doesn't matter what language it's in. You hear it, you say, that's a lullaby. So I became a mom at one point, which some of you may know. And I'm going to sing a lullaby that I made up for my son. So here's how it goes. Go to sleep, little boy, go to sleep. If you're tired, little boy, go to sleep. Go to sleep, go to sleep. If you're tired, go to sleep. Go to sleep, go to sleep, little boy. Do you think my son was a good sleeper?
No.
He was not actually very good at all. And so here's the second verse, which is much like the first, and it says, close your eyes, little boy, go to sleep. If you're tired, little boy, go to sleep. Close your eyes, go to sleep. If you're tired, go to sleep. Close your eyes, go to sleep, little boy. Again, still not a good sleeper. Still not a good sleeper. But that was the kind of song that helped me as much as I think it helped him when I had a little infant. Okay, now, what's actually on the program, folks, and I should be able to do this without notes, but I don't want to forget something. So in my family, there's a very special lullaby, and this would be the same side of the family that I share with the Hepler kids here. So it's a little dark. Does anybody know any of the old fairy tales like Hansel and Gretel and Cinderella that have kind of scary aspects to it? Yeah, it might be a little bit like that, in that vein. So there were a lot of folk stories, and one of these folk stories was Babes in the Wood. And it has a moral point, and the point isn't in the lullaby I'm going to sing you, but the larger folk tales have this point, which is, if you find yourself the guardian of children, even if they're not your own, you should protect them and care for them. In the song, somebody didn't protect the children, just so you know. So my mom, Cynthia Joanne Whitlock's, mom, Elizabeth Joanne Burgett's, mom, Jessie Dieta Kinley's, mom, Martha, died just a few days after my great-grandma Jessie was born. So Jessie was raised by her paternal grandmother, Elizabeth Richardson. And Elizabeth was from England. And this song was first published in England as a broadside ballad in the year 1595. So Elizabeth sang it to Jesse, and Jesse sang it to Joe, and Joe sang it to Cindy, and Cindy sang it to me, and Kathy, and Gina, and I sang it to Nick. And so this is passed down from Nick's great-great-great-great-grandmother. Okay, here we go. That was the big intro. Sorry. Okay. Got to get my note right. Oh, don't you remember a long time ago, there were two little babes, their names I don't know, were stolen away on a bright summer's day, and they never return, I've heard people say. And when it was night, how sad was their plight, for the sun went away, and the moon gave no light. They sobbed and they sighed, they bitterly cried, those babes in the woods, they laid down and died. And when they were dead, the robin so red took strawberry leaves and over them spread, and sang them a song the whole day long. Those babes in the woods are now dead and gone. Mm-hmm. So that's how it goes. Those are the verses. What'd you think? Is that a little bit dark? Does it get right to the point? It just kind of drops it on you, doesn't it? Just drops it on me. So I can hear in my head my mom singing that. She had a much lower voice than me, so we didn't like to sing it at the same time because neither of us could do it. But I can see the whole extended family just stopping what they're doing when anybody started to sing that song. My grandma, my mom, one of my aunts, they would just, everybody would stop and listen. It is dark and spooky, but it's also authentic. It's the most precious thing we have from that many generations ago in my family. And it's a song of our people saying the world can be scary, but you will be protected and you are loved. And I'm grateful for this place to have love and caring to share with so many kids who are quite squirrely after listening to so many music numbers. But thank you for coming up here and joining me, and I look forward to the DeLonge.
way we hear the melody of life and find ourselves singing harmony. May we be open to the dissonances in the song of the land and its people, that we might be part of the world's urging toward justice, peace, and love. May we feel in our bones the rhythms of life and the land and find ourselves dancing.
Just four, mastering those classics was sometimes kind of a chore, but in our tiled bathroom I was the star, singing hymns and Christmas carols. My voice traveled so far, I felt happy and proud be singing out loud. So I say thank you for the music, the song I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy that it's bringing. Who could live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be without a song or dance? What are we? So I say thank you for the music, for giving it to me. When I'm lonely, sad, or glum, I can whistle, I can hum. I annoy co-workers, kids, and spouse with all the songs that pour out of my mouth. For the music, the song I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy that it's bringing. Who could live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be without a song or dance? What are we? So I say thank you for the music, for giving it to me.
Instructor said, "You'll never play like Renee." But I climbed in the ring with some tough Chopin scores anyway. Glissandos and trills were the thrill of my life, and they sure came in handy in wooing my wife. I felt happy and proud for the chance to play piano out loud. So I say thank you for the music, the song I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy that it's bringing. Who could live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be without a song or a dance? What are we? So I say thank you for giving it to me. I've been so lucky, I get to sing in the UU choir. We know that music has the magic power to lift us up, light us up, inspire. So I say thank you for the music, the song I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy that it's bringing. Who could live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be without a song or a dance?